I, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 2 to 3 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Jenny, and
Dan.
I attend Laytonville High School, and Dan is the director of Youth Speaks Out. Some of the hosts weren't able to make it today, and so Dan will be asking me questions about today's topic, which is peer counseling, listening, helping, and developing trust. I work as a peer counselor at Laytonville High School. On today's show, I want to explain what we do to prepare ourselves for the roles and how we serve other students in the high school and at the primary school. While learning specific skills to help others, we also find that we understand ourselves much better. At the beginning of the school year, we had a week training where we do exercises to open communication among ourselves. One of the most important skills we develop is how to listen to other people. We learn about reading body language, which is often a valuable key to understanding what someone else is telling us. We practice restating what someone has told us to make sure we get a clear picture of what we are being told. We check in on our own judgments so that we can listen with an open mind. At the weekend trainings, we have workshops with the leader of our program, Jamis Shields, who was one of the original hosts of Youth Speaks Out, and project assistant for several years. We also have guest presenters for specific trainings. We study what makes a relationship healthy and how to identify abusive situations with partners and family. We learn about how various substances alter people's thinking and interactions with others. We practice trusting each other in the group and how we can truly be a friend to someone in need of support. We write poetry to help express our deeper feelings. After the weekend, we begin to apply these skills to each other in peer counseling, and then gradually to other students at the high school. We strive to be a refuge on campus, peers who will listen without judgment, peers who can be trusted to keep secrets, peers who can understand what teachers and parents don't. Most of what we do is listen with open minds. Many students suffer because they feel that there is no one safe to speak to about personal conflicts. Just listening can change a person's world. Many students suffer because of the stress at home and at school. A friend can help them by moving forward rather than turning to substances for relief. Some students suffer because they seriously need intervention to stop abuse in their relationships or at home. We can guide them to the adults they really need for help. When conflicts arise at school, we can often help resolve the issues by listening to both sides and helping them communicate clearly to each other. Active listening is one of the many skills we develop by becoming peer counselors, and it helps us for the rest of our lives. In fact, all the techniques we learn to improve communication will be tools we can use in situations. We strive to be role models, listening, giving advice, but aware that we cannot really change someone else. People must change themselves. What we can do is help others understand themselves, maybe offer some tools, and encourage them to take the appropriate action. We also work with primary school students who are referred to us by teachers. We are to be their buddy. We hang out, help with homework, and listen. We learn a lot about ourselves by doing this, as well as helping the younger ones. Some would like to see these techniques taught on all the students. Ideally, this would be great, but many students are too self-conscious to engage in the role-playing and other activities. Also, the trust factor is crucial to the success of some communication, and some students would not keep things personal. We do have an annual challenge day. Many of these things we learn in peer counseling are available to those who attend the many wonderful workshops presented there. What we have learned about ourselves is the most valuable aspect of peer counseling. We have developed our communication skills, recognized our own judgments, learned to truly trust others, and found healthy ways to deal with stress. Learning how to help in a community, how to set our goals, and how to believe in oneself are long-range benefits as well. What we want to do today is discuss peer counseling and why it is an important resource in our schools. When you or your children were in high school, was there a program like peer counseling? If not, would it have been a benefit to you? Did you suffer from stress in high school? Why did most youth entering high school need to learn how to communicate effectively? In your community, are you an open-minded listener, someone who can help resolve conflicts? How do you check in to make sure that your judgments aren't clouding what other people are saying? How have you learned to improve your communication skills? Have you been involved in any of the challenge day presented at the local high schools? We will talk about our experiences in peer counseling for about 15 to 20 minutes. Then we will open the phone lines and encourage you to express your knowledge and opinions about communication. We are at the Willits Studio, and our phone number is 456-9991. We'll mention the number again when we open the phone lines.
All right. So let's start off. This is Dan, and I'm way out of high school. And filling in for some students that couldn't make it on this busy weekend, Thanksgiving Day weekend. And so, Jenny, why don't you just give me a brief overview of what peer counseling is?
Well, peer counseling is available to all students 10th grade through 12th grade. It's a program where high schoolers can try to help their peers and kids in the middle school deal with a lot of stress. It includes, you have to go to extensive weekend training where our advisor, Jama Shields, she teaches us on effective listening and all these other skills needed to be a peer counselor. It's basically just a group that kids can come and talk to if they're feeling stressed out or if they're feeling pressured or if they just need someone to talk to. Peer counselors are always available to them. And it's a really good way for people who they don't have, if somebody doesn't have anybody to talk to, we're always open for them to come and talk to us.
So what do you think the difference between talking to a teacher or a parent versus talking to a peer? What's different about that?
Well, the age is definitely something that's different. I know that it can be sometimes intimidating talking to someone who's older, a teacher. I know that talking to another student sometimes make people feel more comfortable, especially if you're in the same age range, because you feel that, well, that person's going to understand because they've been through it. You won't get lectures, you know, back in my day, we did this and this. There isn't a lot of judgment where if you talk to your peer, you feel, okay, well, this person went through that experience. You know, if you're feeling stressed out with homework, it'd be easier to talk to somebody who's just done, you know, the same things that you have done. And it's less intimidating. Sometimes you feel that you'll be judged by someone who's older because they've been through, you know, been in life longer, and it feels better to talk to somebody who's in your own age range.
Okay, so a lot of it is like being a friend and being open-minded and listening to somebody else. I know when I was in high school, there was no such thing as peer counseling, and if I wanted to talk to somebody about what was bothering me, it certainly, you know, most of the time, it wasn't my parents or my teachers that I could talk to. So it was, you know, I did it and develop friendships where I sort of accomplished the same thing, but not quite, because I wasn't really trained in communication skills, which is one of the things that I've always been incredibly impressed about peer counseling and the things that happen, what you're trained for. So why is there a need for peer counseling?
Well, I know that there's definitely a lot of kids in our school that, they're feeling really stressed out. There's problems with friends. It's always been like that since, you know, the beginning of school, the beginning of, you know, people interacting with each other. There's always been conflicts. Peer counselors, a part of the job of peer counselors isn't to resolve conflicts. It's to help people learn about themselves better and to help them make the right choices. You can't change somebody and you can't force them to do what, you know, you think is right, but you can give them the tools they need and the knowledge that would help them to make those decisions. There's definitely a need for peer counselors at school. Like I previously said, there's always counselors and teachers and parents, but sometimes, adults just don't understand. They don't, there's a big difference between, when people grew up in the 1950s as opposed to 2008. And so peer counselors can definitely help kids, help them make life easier.
Okay, well, I can see that there's differences between growing up in the 50s like I did and currently, in that drugs weren't a situation when I was in school. And there probably was abuse going on, although we weren't really even hip to the idea that that might have happened. But there was a lot of stress. I remember feeling tons of stress at different times. And the bullying and people hurting each other's feelings by excluding people and stuff like that. Okay, so how did you get involved in peer counseling?
Well, I was a part of the Big Brothers Big Sisters group in high school, freshman and sophomore year. That's similar to peer counseling, except for you deal with elementary schoolers as opposed to middle schoolers and high schoolers. A couple of my friends were in peer counseling. They thought it would be a good idea, a good thing for me to do. I really like helping people, and peer counseling was definitely a way that I could help people. And it just seemed like a really good opportunity for anybody to be a part of, because you can help people, and it was just a really good program that was available at our school, thankfully.
Yeah, and I think one of the big values also is that you learn so much. Besides helping everybody else, what you learn in interacting and in taking the trainings and stuff is how to communicate more effectively, which is why I've sort of been pushing that. I mean, in my opinion, the training should be available to everybody, and I understand why it isn't. But just to teach people, how to listen to somebody without getting rid of their own judgments before somebody else starts speaking, so that you'd really know what they're trying to say. Because most of the time, we're just so busy and programmed that, somebody says something to me, and I think I've already made my judgments on the way the person looks, on the way they sound, on what I've heard about them or know about them or former interactions. I'm not really natively that open. The buddy groups, the younger kids are referred, right? They're like, teachers in the grammar school say, well, this kid kind of seems like it would be good for them to have a buddy.
Yeah. I know that's what happens in elementary and middle school. Students are referred to either Big Brothers, Big Sisters, or peer counselors. In high school, I think you can also be referred, but most of the time students come and talk to us. They take us aside and say, "Hey, can I talk to you for a little bit?" I know that. As a student in elementary school and middle school, you don't know that those are available to you. But it's a really good opportunity. And I know that when I was in Big Brothers, Big Sisters, most of the elementary schoolers that were my buddies, they didn't take advantage of the situation to talk to me about their problems. They all seemed really happy, and what we did was we ate lunch together or we played games together, but it seemed like it was a really fun way for them to take an hour off of school and come talk to us and come, play games with us. So I think that peer counselors and Big Brothers, Big Sisters can help children in different ways, and high schoolers, if not talking to them about their problems, just by spending a couple hours with them during the week. And it's a really good opportunity to build trust and build friendships and relationships. And just get to know people better, because that happens in life situations. After you graduate from high school, you need to be able to communicate effectively with people in college and in different job occupations, and it's just a really good way to build those communication skills, however you communicate to people.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So why don't you describe the weekend training that you did?
Okay. Well, at the beginning of the year, the peer counselors, we go up to Brook Trails and we have a weekend training Saturday and Sunday. And it's just for the peer counselors, which this year I think it was a group of just around 5 or 6 students and Jama Shields, which is our advisor, peer counselor advisor. And so basically what you do is Jama invites some guest speakers to come and talk to us. These guest speakers talk to us about effective communication, drugs, different types of drugs, and their effects, and healthy relationships. And then we also express our opinions or our thoughts through poetry, too. But basically, it's just this weekend training is a way to get to know the group better. I think one of our goals during that weekend training was to open up to our fellow peer counselors. We do check-ins, which we sit around in the circle and we go through the circle and we tell others how we're feeling and what we may be stressed out about. And our fellow peer counselors listen to us, and they we all keep silent while other people are talking. And it's just a way of making people know that we're listening to them. And then we break off into little groups. We do a trust walk, which we close our eyes and we trust the people to lead us around the park. And it's just a way of building stronger friendships and bonds with our peer counselors, because it's really important for us to know our peer counselors before we can go and help other people and other high schoolers and elementary schoolers and middle schoolers. So the weekend training provided us with that opportunity to open up to our friends and get more knowledge about drugs and healthy relationships and ways to communicate with our buddies later on in throughout the year.
So what did you learn about drugs from Gene?
Well, it was basically a he told us about different types of drugs and their effects, because obviously not all the drugs are the same. And it was really nice because he gave us experiences, you know, through helping other people. And he also gave us a lot of pamphlets and different ways to deal with people. As for example, if our buddies were experimenting with drugs, how we can identify which drug they're using, and so we can help them in a more effective way. Because as students, we know that there's people who are experimenting with drugs, and it's really important for us to be able to help those people and have a basic knowledge of about drugs and how they impact your life, especially minors and their age, because it's such an influential age. When you're in middle school and elementary school, you're doing it, you're experimenting with drugs or alcohol because of peer pressure, and it's just a way for us to try to help those people.
So you guys did role-playing. What kind of role-playing did you do?
Well, role-playing, we did that with Dan Arkin, Don Arkin, who comes every Thursday, and he's one of our psychiatrists for the school. So role-playing is where there's the psychiatrist, and then there's the student, and role-playing was what one student is the student, and you role play different roles. Like if one student could be playing the role of a kid who's kind of isolated, lonely, they're eating lunch by themselves, they don't have very many friends, and then the counselor tries to talk to them, and the entire peer counseling group is watching and seeing, you know, what the counselor is doing, which is played by a student, how he's sitting, how their body language, active listening skills, which is eye contact. You know, you want to make sure that your student is feeling comfortable talking to you. You know, you can't have your arms crossed looking away. It was a way for us to build those skills. And because not all students are going to be the same, having the same troubles, they're going to have different troubles, and you need to learn how to deal with those different types of situations, because not all situations are going to be the same.
Yeah. So from the training, what did you learn about yourself?
Well, from the training, you learn that it's really important to keep an open mind. I know a lot during school, if you have your own opinion about things, you don't want to open up your mind to other opinions. You feel, you know, well, my opinion's correct, and I'm going to stick to that despite what people are going to be trying to influence me. It's definitely important to keep an open mind. Also, just to listen to people, and it's really important to make sure that people know that you're listening. There's this quote here by Henry David Thoreau that said, "The greatest compliment that was ever paid to me was when someone asked me what I thought and listened to my answers." You definitely learn that as a part of peer counseling isn't by telling people what to do, giving them advice. It's just by listening, and people will definitely trust you when you listen to them. High schoolers and middle schoolers and elementary schoolers, they don't need somebody else to tell them what to do. They don't need more advice. They just need somebody to listen to them and listen about their problems. They need to know that somebody, you know, cares about what's going on in their life. And we were taught that during peer counseling. It was just basically you got to know your peers better. You got to know the group better, see what their experiences were like. This is my first year as a peer counselor, but for a couple other people, it was their second year or third year. And so just to know the group better, know what each person's experiences were like, it was a really important experience.
Yeah, and besides the problems, I guess setting goals is something else you learn how to do too, or to, you know, actually focus on what your goals are, you know, and how you want to accomplish specific things. Has your communication changed as a result? I mean, like the body language stuff. Now, when you're talking to somebody else, do you pay attention to the body language that you might be giving off? Because, I mean, I guess the idea with body language is that we all perceive it, but most of us are doing it on an unconscious kind of level. Mm-hmm. Like if somebody has their arms crossed when they're talking to you, you feel like they're holding back, or they may be controlling what they're allowing to come out.
Yeah. Like you said, it's really important. As a part, you definitely learned how to listen better. I know that we try to apply those in everyday life, not just as a peer counselor. When you're talking to somebody, to make eye contact, to not slouch, not look out the window when you're talking to somebody. We definitely learn that as peer counselors. And also it applies to everyday life. It doesn't just apply to peer school, or once you're out of school, once you're in a job, or in college, people are going to judge you by the way you're listening to other people. If you're sitting there kind of in your own little space, looking out the window or not making eye contact with your hands crossed, looking really nervous, people are going to judge you because of that. But if you're really open to people, if your arms are, you know, if you're using your hands to express your thoughts and words, people are going to think, oh, well, this person's listening more effectively. They're going to judge you because they feel this person's listening to me and not thinking about something else while they should be.
Well, I know I spent a lot of my youth when I'd be having a conversation with somebody else and they'd start their part of the conversation. I wouldn't be listening to them. All I'd be doing is thinking about what I was going to say next. I mean, I don't think I'm the only one that ever did that, but it took me a long time to figure out that I was doing that. I wasn't always listening to what somebody else was saying. I was just getting ready for my next part, which is pretty limiting because then I'm not really grokking or understanding what the other person is saying. So is there a way that that all the peer counselors are presented to the school as people that you can specifically go and talk to? Is there an assembly or anything?
There isn't an assembly, but I'm pretty sure at Laneville, it's a real small school. People know who the peer counselors are. People know who the big brother, big sister, people involved in that program are. And we try to make... All the people in peer counseling are wonderful, nice people who are really warm and available to people. The kids in our school know who the peer counselors are. And we don't have an assembly, but we do have Challenge Day, which is open to everybody who wants to participate, freshmen through seniors, and then some community members as well, all the teachers. And that's available to everybody in the school who wants to participate. And Challenge Day is a day where we, as a school, we get together and we talk about our experiences, problems, and it's really effective. At the end of the day, people are opened up, and I know at the beginning of Challenge Day, people were sitting there looking like, well, you know, this is silly, this is dumb, this isn't going to work. People are still going to, you know, people aren't going to open up. This is, you know, worthless, a waste of a day. But at the end, people were really opening up and sharing different experiences. And an effective thing was that we all sat in groups with people that we barely knew, with community members that we weren't familiar with. And so we could tell each other these experiences and our problems. And it made us feel that there, people are really alike. Everybody has the same emotions. And so Challenge Day was definitely a really good opportunity for people who weren't who aren't participating in peer counseling or big brothers, big sisters.
Yeah, and Challenge Day, it's going to happen sometime in around the 20th of January at Laytonville and the next couple of days at Willits High. And it does draw in people from throughout the community that aren't necessarily involved in education at all. And the idea is just to kind of normalize relations, because I know one of the reasons I like producing this show is because so many people that don't have children in high school are so afraid and confused about what kids in high school are like because of the way the media portrays young people as kind of on the edge of violence or craziness or not caring or materialism or, you know, whatever, all the stereotypes that that the media promotes because that's what sells stuff to young people. And so then everybody gets portrayed that way. And so the Challenge Day is really a wonderful thing. It's kind of like a one-day seminar in what peer counseling is, in a sense, although you don't have enough time to really get deeply open with each other, but at least it breaks a bunch of those barriers. And you were saying there was kids that were apologizing for being bullies?
At the end of the day, there were people who normally would never open up. They would, you know, sitting in the back of class, just not listening. They were really opening up and apologizing. And it was really, really touching in a way, because you felt that a job was accomplished because you were able to effectively communicate to that person. And it was just one of the really good things about Challenge Day. In a way, we wish that Challenge Day would happen twice a year, but it's a really hard thing to get organized sometimes. But there is a Be the Change group at school. And that Be the Change group is where a group of kids, anybody can join. They try to prolong the effect of Challenge Day, and every week there's a weekly challenge, or where the weekly challenge could be anything from, you know, pick trash up to invite somebody who normally doesn't hang out with your group to come eat lunch, or talk to somebody who you normally don't talk to. And it's just promoting friendship throughout the school to people who normally you wouldn't talk to or hang out with. And so we have Be the Change group at school, along with peer counseling and Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And so it's a good opportunity for people who aren't involved in some of those other programs to really make a change in our school.
Yeah.
We are going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about peer counseling, challenge days, or improving the communication among high school students. Were there ideas or feelings that you had in high school that you couldn't tell anyone? Was there anyone at your school that you could trust to listen openly and keep things confidential? Could you be totally honest with your parents or teachers? Did you know where to go if you needed help with an unhealthy relationship or substance abuse? Were you someone people could speak to and get things off their chest? Where did you learn your communication skills? Should these techniques be taught to all high school students? Are there communication skills you would like to share with the audience? Please call in and be a part of this conversation. The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio, or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call in and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you.
Yeah. Give a call, and, you know, us older folks, we didn't have peer counseling in high school. Now, I know some people in their 30s, they did have peer counseling in high school, and it's a relatively new thing. And it's not just limited to high school either. I did a little research on peer counseling, and I found that there was peer counselors in lots of colleges, but also for breastfeeding in places other than Northern California, where it's considered strange to breastfeed in public. There's peer counseling for that. The idea is that you hang out with people, you know, your peers, and discuss, you know, how you could resolve problems and listen to each other. So here's...
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm wondering, can anybody become a peer counselor, any student?
Yeah, I know at our school, typically it's just sophomores through seniors. Freshmen can be involved in the Big Buddy and the Big Brother, Big Sister group because it's a transitional stage between, you know, middle school and high school. But anybody's welcome to be a peer counselor. You have to go through an interview because there are so many people who wanted to be peer counselors, but it's open to anybody who wants to try.
Uh-huh. So... at your school, there's only 5 peer counselors, is that right?
No, there's more peer counselors. There's, I think, around 7 or 8. We had a big group this year. In the past, there's only been 4 or 5, but this year was a pretty large group for the peer counselors.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. That sounds great. Well, thank you for being on the air.
Well, thank you, caller. Mm.
That number again is 456-9991. Call up and ask questions. Jenny knows a lot about peer counseling in high school, or maybe you could tell stories about where did you develop your communication skills? When did you learn to make sure that you were clearly listening? And if there's any former peer counselors out there, graduates of the School of Peer Counseling, 456, it's 707-456-9991. And it's a big part of this show is to get the community involved in discussing things related to high school?
I have a story here that we were shared with during our training. It's called The Starfish. An old man walked down the beach at dawn. He noticed a young man ahead of him picking up starfish and flinging them into the sea. Finally, catching up with a youth, he asked him why he was doing this. The answer was that the stranded starfish would die if it was left until the morning sun. But the beach goes on for miles and miles. There are millions of starfish, countered the old man. How can your effort make a difference? The young man looked at the starfish in his hand and then threw it into the safety of the waves. It makes a difference to this one, he said. Which that really reflects what peer counselors are trying to do. Which we're not trying to change the world. We're not trying to change, you know, every single person who comes to us, but we're just trying to help people get to know themselves better and help the person who needs it the most. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I wanted to ask what you do if a student comes to you and talks about something that sounds like it might be dangerous, putting themselves in danger or someone else, and I'll just listen for your answer. Thank you.
All right, thank you, caller. That's a good question. As a part of, at the very beginning of the training, we're told if ever one of our buddies or anybody comes up to us and tells us, you know, I've been thinking about committing suicide, or I've been experimenting with these really harmful drugs, or, you know, I really want to kill this person, we have to report that to our advisor, and we have to get help for that person. It's, as a peer counselor, we've been told, you know, you have to keep your secrets. If a buddy tells you something, you have to keep that promise and not tell anybody. But to a certain extent, we do have to tell our advisor if one of our buddies or if any student is doing something that's harmful to themselves, because the main point and the main part of peer counseling is to help those people. We don't want to get to the point where we're listening to them, but we're not taking action to actually help them if there is something that's terribly wrong in their life. We do have to report that to our advisor and get help from different places. There's a lot of different places in Willits and Ukiah that are for helping kids and getting them out of a bad situation.
So, you know, you're saying, and in the script it said, that you can't really change somebody else. What's that about?
Well, it's just reflecting if there's somebody who's just really messed up, they've got a, you know, they're doing all the drug or all these bad drugs, and you just can't change that person, but you can give them the tools they need to help them. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. I live in Willits and have been aware of the peer counseling program and many teens who have really benefited, especially from that sense of a deeper connection with others and learning to voice their own feelings. And I do wonder, I came on when one of you was saying that you understood why it's not made available to everyone. And I was just curious about why your thoughts are that maybe the class itself is not on communication and all the kinds of things that you go away and learn about having special speakers isn't made available to everyone in high school.
Oh, all right. Thank you, caller. You brought up a good point. It is available to everybody through Challenge Day. You can always come talk to peer counselors about what they've learned. I think the main reason why it isn't available to everyone is the fact that some people aren't serious about peer counseling. They might be becoming a part of a group, you know, to stir things up. It's sad, but you can't trust everybody with these kind of things. But though these resources, they're available to everybody. You can come talk to Jama Shields, our advisor. You can come participate in Challenge Day. There's all these different ways that you can get information about how to help and about drugs and alcohol and other things that peer counselors can learn about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could understand where that could be hard, you know, the process part of it. But I wonder also, you know, I've long wondered why we don't offer that education around, you know, just the, it seems like you have to go to college before you can get that basic active listening, all of the things you talked about, and just general education about feelings, communication, and all the rest. And it'd be nice if there was another part that you didn't necessarily have to be committing to that process with peer counseling, but you could get more of that information.
Well, I totally agree with you, and it's been one of the things that I've wanted to see the schools adopt is a freshman class where you did talk about communication skills, but not, I understand the trusting thing because the groups get together and they share, they're totally open with each other more than they are with their parents or teachers or whatever. And so then people would get exposed to having that information spread around, but just about how you communicate and how you listen actively and speak, you know, restating what somebody else is saying to you so that you make sure that you really understand. I mean, I think that those are skills that if they were given to freshmen in high school would, like, greatly elevate the whole process of education. But
yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you, caller.
It's 456-9991. Where did you get your communication skills? Schools? Where did you get your... were there feelings when you were in high school that you couldn't tell anyone? And did that really hold you back? Did you wish that there was some way that you could get a little relief? Because I end up working in the high schools occasionally, and it really breaks my heart in a literal way to see how sad and how, I don't know, how lost so many kids are. It reminds me of where I was at often in high school.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the last, I'm on a cell phone, so I know you're going to hate this, but I wanted to comment on the last call about, you know, having freshman class and communication.
Mm-hmm.
There's also an element that the people need to be prepared to receive the capacity to do that work.
Mm-hmm.
And I have taught communication course both at the community college level and high school, and I have to say it's really hard for the kids to do the kinds of skills that you're talking about at the early ages of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so while the ideal is really good, it really doesn't work. Those skills really take higher levels to be able to apply them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the...
So do you mean that as juniors and seniors they could handle it?
You know, I found that by the senior level they could, but, you know, like you were talking the freshman level.
Right.
And the kind of active listening and the ability to paraphrase and bring that information back and that level of communication is pretty rough for folks at the kids at that age.
And so did you do that at a high school around here?
I both in Colorado I did it.
Okay. Oh, well, it's great to hear that we have some experienced speaker here.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that you know, it's helpful, but it takes a lot of environment and a lot of practice for people to get to the level to be able to apply it.
Is there some part that could be taught to freshmen?
You know, what I found was really giving them daily practice and an environment to just literally talk. You know, so much of education now is everybody sits there and be talked at.
Right.
As opposed to really interactive. And we don't get a lot of that right now in our education. We move everybody through it as opposed to experiencing it.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks for your call.
Yeah, thank you, caller.
Sure.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I realize this is a youth show, but just for the sake of filling in the puzzle a little more, I wanted to mention that the county sponsors a senior peer counseling program, and that's senior citizens, not high school seniors.
Great.
And which leads me to wonder if maybe the challenges that life presents us with may shift a little bit as we go through different stages of life, but that something like this might be beneficial, you know, with different sets of peers, depending on who you're talking about. Something like this might be beneficial at many different stages of life.
Yeah, definitely. As you go through life, your emotions change too. You're worrying about different things. As a junior in high school, I worry about my grades, and I worry about, you know, the colleges I'm going to apply to, how I'm going to fit everything into my schedule in time. But as a 50 or 60 year old, you're not worrying about those things anymore. You're worrying about, you know,
you have different issues, but
yeah.
You still have issues.
Yeah, you still have issues, but they're different. And I think what you mentioned, the senior citizen peer counseling group, that's a really good way, because people have different problems at different ages, and it's really important to address those problems. You can't mix them into the same group.
Right. Different peer groups for different stages. And I don't think any of us have, very few of us have too much active listening to where we're really coming from. You know, mm-hmm. we don't have that much real sharing going on that we couldn't stand some more.
So if someone wanted to find out about your group, how would they get in touch if a senior citizen wanted to join the peer counseling group? Hello?
Caller?
Oh. Okay, well, I guess he lost the connection there.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just came in late in the middle of your show, and it's a great show, and I think it's
thank
so
you.
Important. I just wanted to mention that the American Association of University Women did a study across the United States that found that eighth grade girls' high grades plummeted when they became freshmen, and when they investigated why their grades plummeted when they became freshmen, they discovered it was because of the hidden agenda, quote-unquote, of high school, you know, sex, drugs, bullying, violence, drugs, alcohol, dating, boys, and those kinds of things. And out of that research grew a program that we're doing now in the Willett schools every year for eighth grade girls, and it's put on by the peer counselor or high school girls and boys, the Sister to Sister Summit, and I don't know if anybody's heard about that, but it happens in the spring, and it's a one-day workshop put on by high school girls for eighth grade girls, and it's a series of mini workshops that deal with sex and drugs and body image and makeup and consumerism and bullying and communication techniques to deal with those issues. And the interesting thing that we found is that in these mini workshops, the facilitators are the high school girls, and the eighth grade girls, there are no adults involved in the mini workshops that go on during the day. Mm-hmm. So the eighth grade girls feel very comfortable talking with their peers. And the other thing that happens is that when the eighth grade girls become freshmen, they then have friendly faces on campus to which to turn to share, have problems or whatever they want to do, somebody there to talk to and ask how they might handle things like that. So that goes on every year in the Willett schools, and it came out of, teaching eighth grade girls and boys how to deal with the issues of going into high school that aren't academic issues.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, caller.
That's great. Yeah. That's great to know that this is an annual thing that happens here.
Yeah, they do it for the boys and the girls. They have a brother-to-brother summit, and they have a sister-to-sister summit for eighth-grade boys and eighth-grade girls every year.
And so they take a day over at Bechtel and have that happen, or is it on a weekend?
David Hull Stevens finally got the. We were doing it as a weekend workshop for girls, and they could sign up. But now, it's come into the school system, and they bus 100% of the eighth grade boys over to the high school, and the high school peer counselor boys have this workshop all there at the high school on one day. And this year we're going to try to get the same thing for the girls, to have it be on a school day. And there will be a negative permission, meaning if you do not want your child to go, you can sign the slip saying you do not want her. She can opt out if she wants to. So, yeah.
That's great.
Okay. Yeah, sister to sister and brother to brother.
Great. Thanks
Thank
a lot.
Thank you.
I know that at Laytonville High School, we have a girls group, and more recently there's been a guys group also. And I know many of the freshman girls, they're in this girl group. I'm not a part of the girl group, but from what I've heard, it's just a way for girls to talk. Because I remember the transition between 8th grade to 9th grade. It was hard because we were discussing this earlier. You go from being at the top to going all the way to the bottom because you're a freshman, you're at the bottom. I think sister to sister, brother to brother programs would definitely be really effective in our schools, just so you get more knowledge and you know that there's somebody there to help you. So thank you, caller. That was
great. Yeah. So the number is 456-9991. Got about 8 minutes left. Call in and share your experience. I mean, this is great. We hear about a senior peer counseling group. We hear about sister to sister and brother to brother. Or maybe, you could just tell how you learned how to communicate well, or if you're still learning, and or if you've been involved in Challenge Days. I mean, Challenge Days is coming up in January, and at least at Willits in Laytonville. And it's a program that's actually run out of the Bay Area, and they send people up that put on the program, but then they have people from throughout the community come in and spend the entire day hanging out with the students.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Susan Bridgemount, and I want to address the senior peer counseling program that was mentioned earlier in the show. Mm-hmm. Here in Mendocino County, we have a very active group of senior peer counselors, and the program is run under the auspices of the Mendocino County Health and Human Services Agency. Mm-hmm. And we have senior peer counselors in Ukiah, Willits, and Fort Bragg. And these are experienced, wizened souls who've gone through a very extensive training. And the benefit of this whole program really is to help other seniors who are facing isolation, change in health, change in mobility, and just the changes that come along with life and aging, to have someone of their own age who's had similar experiences to talk to. So if you'd like, I'd be happy to give you my office number. I'm the coordinator for the program, and anyone who's interested in receiving senior peer counseling or in the future even becoming a senior peer counselor can call me.
Yes,
and
please give out that number.
My number is 463-7885, and that's in Ukiah.
Okay, 463-7885.
Uh-huh. Happy to talk to anyone, answer any questions. And just to let you know that this service has been available for the last 4 years in our county, and it's a viable, ongoing program with a lot of great counselors and, as well as clients.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Sure. Bye-bye.
That number for the senior peer counseling service is 463-7885. Thank you, caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I used to teach in the Bay Area, and I just wanted to address there was a woman who called in and said that she felt that it didn't really work with the younger ages. Mm-hmm. But when I taught in the Bay Area, we did a peer counseling conflict resolution program for third and fourth graders. In a K-4 school, and it was mm-hmm. awesome, and it helped so much with conflict resolution and with peer counseling, because for all the reasons you've talked about, and they are cognitively capable. You just have to teach them in a different way than you would seniors or juniors.
What were some of the ways you tried to teach the fourth graders those different skills?
Well, the very first most important thing is that we started with the classroom teachers. And then with peers, and we nominated, X number of students from each third and fourth grade classroom who we thought had potential for leadership or listening and mm-hmm. a certain set of qualities. And then we did a really intense workshop training once a year, whether they were repeats or new students. And then we just did a lot of team-building exercises and talked a lot about, and you know, reciprocally about what is it like to listen and what would you do in this situation, so that they really started to learn, you know, how do you feel if this happens to you, so how do you feel, think that that person would feel, and that they really understood the importance of being in that position of power, as it were, and how important it was to be objective and equitable and fair. And it really helped them to have that position. And often we picked some of the most troubled students. And that it really helped those students because it gave them power in a way that was positive and useful. And often those are the kids that are getting looked up to as much as the students that adults tend to think of as role models, because they're all role models. You just have to kind of model them in a way that is positive socially.
Well, thank you, caller.
So were there specific exercises that you do?
Oh, my gosh, it's been so long. There were, but they're just really common team-building things. You know, so, like, you do programs around Robin conversation, mm-hmm. and then you have things get repeated back, and then you do kind of mock situations where you have each person is playing a role, each student's playing a role. So you say, okay, I want you to tell your partner about a problem that you're having. And if they couldn't pretend, you know, make one up or use one that they've had, then you give them a script for the problem. And then the other person, you know, will model back active listening and then help them problem solve. So we do a bunch of that as an intensive day mm-hmm. to just figure out how to do it. And then you send them out in pairs with, you know, clipboards. This is for the conflict resolution part. Mm-hmm. And you monitor them for a while as adults. And then as it goes along, you know, you kind of just let them go off on their own more.
Well, thank
That's
you.
Great.
I think that a good point you brought up was that to start young, especially fourth grade, you're free of judgment as a fourth grader. You don't judge people as middle schoolers or people in early high school do. And that would be really nice to see at our school, where you start early before they get those judgments in middle school. And then once they get to high school or middle school, they still have that open mind, and you don't need to start in the middle of their rebellious stage. So that was a really good idea. Thank you.
Thank you.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I wanted to let people know about Alternatives to Violence Project. It's a group that does really international programs. They're involved, do community workshops, workshops in prisons and things. The website is avpcalifornia, all one word, .org. I know there are occasional community workshops in Santa Rosa open to anybody who's interested in learning a lot of the skills you've been talking about, and if there were enough interest, it might be possible to organize something in Mendocino County.
That website was avpcalifornia.org, was that correct?
Yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
All right, thank you.
And so this is another kind of peer counseling. It's people that have problems with violence that get together and talk about it? Is that...
Caller?
Well, okay. So, yeah, there's all kinds of peer counseling possibilities. We got time for one quick call, 456-9991. Have to be a quick one. Got about a minute and a half before we're going to have to do our sign out here.
That website was avpcalifornia.org.
And that was great hearing about the fourth grade you know,
yeah.
Teaching communication skills in the fourth grade. I mean, I totally agree that I'm sure that some fourth grade teachers are doing that on their own without saying that they're doing it, trying to improve the communication skills. But what an advantage, I think.
That would, it would be great to see that at our school. I know that this didn't happen in middle school, but in ninth grade, our ninth grade English teacher, we had seminar, which was totally different for us. It was a great experience because as middle schoolers, we were never exposed to seminar. We had no idea what seminar was. But as ninth graders, seminar is when you sit in a circle and we discuss a piece of writing with a group, and we have to take turns. We don't raise our hands like we do in middle school and elementary school, but we have to make sure that each person gets their turn. Some people, they talk more than other people. Other people, you know, they keep quiet. But as a group, it's our duty, it's our job to, you know, try to engage the people who don't talk as much to talk, and try to make sure that everybody, their opinions are all heard. And so seminar is great. The fourth grade workshop would be excellent.
And that's Rick Kale, I guess, that you're talking about, right?
Our ninth grade teacher was Miss Kine.
Miss Kine.
Mr. Okay. Kale is the 11th and 12th grade teacher.
And Bruce Brady is the one that brought that to Laytonville High School, the seminar program. So
that's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Jenny, and Dan. Thanks to our callers, one of the purposes of the show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are very important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett Studio. Youth Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with HALT, Healthy Activities for Laytonville Teens. HALT is a project designed by Laytonville's Healthy Start program. The project is creating many alternative activities for teens in our community. For more information, please contact Healthy Start at 984-8089 or visit their website at www.laytonville.org/healthystart.html. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. That's www.youthspeaksout.net. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Our next show will be on the last Sunday of December, the 28th, at 2 o'clock p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next month.